Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this recap edition of the La Liga Lowdown podcast. My name's Tom Harris, and I'm delighted to be joined by Valencia's very own Paco Pollitt to revisit the 9 games that we've had so far of La Liga match day 9. We're just missing one result so far this weekend, and that is Villarreal against Osasuna, who face off on Monday night. One of Villarreal's bogey teams, it has to be said. The last 3 encounters have all been won by Los Rojillos. But Paco, it was El Clásico weekend. We have plenty to get stuck into. But I just want to ask how you were and did anything stand out to you in particular this weekend?
Well, hi, Tom. Quite a few things. I believe we're going to speak about this in depth in a few minutes. But I really saw Real Madrid being far superior to Barca at this point. I really didn't see Real Madrid shifting into 4th, 5th, even 6th gear. It wasn't necessary for them. They won with quite a lot of ease, and I was very surprised about this. Barca are facing, I believe, a dive in form in the last few games. We've seen it against Inter, we've seen it against Real Madrid. So even Xavi himself in the presser after the game said and confirmed that they are facing a tough spot at this point in the season. And regarding the rest of the games, we have to talk about Real Sociedad winning once again, 4 games in a row for them. They are already in the run for those Champions League spots. Atletico Madrid with a huge win away from home against Athletic Club. Betis once again making themselves strong at home with a 3-1 win over Almeria. And overall, you know, a couple of stumbles, unexpected to some extent. Valencia against Elche. You can also say Girona Al Cádiz, a game with many needs for both of the teams with a draw. Obviously, Espanyol, huge win at home, the first one this season for them. So many things to pick apart in the next few minutes because it was a very, very interesting weekend.
Very interesting indeed, but there is, of course, only one place to start. On El Clásico weekend, we have to start with Real Madrid against Barcelona, a top-of-the-table clash, the 250th version of El Clásico, the 100th to be played at the Santiago Bernabeu, and the 101st victory for Real Madrid in this historic fixture. Los Blancos raced into a 2-goal lead as Karim Benzema and then Fede Valverde finished from the edge of the area to see Ancelotti's side 2 goals to the good at halftime. But we have to remember Robert Lewandowski missed a fantastic chance in that first half, just stretching to meet the cross and sending it over the bar. Ferran Torres equalised early in the second half with a finish at the back post, and it looked as if we were all set for a grandstand finish, but Real Madrid managed the game expertly, it has to be said, and a penalty from Rodrigo in the 91st minute put the result beyond all doubt. And we have to remember, Paco, that before this fixture, Barcelona had only conceded 1 goal in La Liga all season. So, you know, it really puts into context the achievement from Real Madrid here. What do you think, you know, what will Xavi take away from this game? We saw his post-match quotes. He was, saying that he was worried that we did not attack well, that we did not take advantage of our moments, and that we must be very self-critical. Any players in particular you think he might be pointing the finger at in the aftermath of this game?
Xavi said that he wasn't going actually to finger point at anyone, but obviously one of the names has to be Eric Garcia. I think he wasn't up to par in such a huge scenery against such a huge opposition, and he was quite lacking in most of the goals. Obviously, I think that subs made Barca better. I think that Xavi should have played Gavi quite earlier because Sergio Busquets, I'm so sad to say this and even to report this, but we've seen slowly his decline in the last couple of seasons. I believe he has been one of the most brilliant midfielders in the last decade for both for Barca and for the Spanish national side. But you could see in that first opening goal, he was just unable to bring down Toni Kroos in the midfield, and he allowed the German midfielder to actually begin the play that ended in Benzema's opener. So I would say that Eric García, Busquets, and Lewandowski, because Lewandowski had, you know, anyone could see that Barca's biggest chance was actually for Lewandowski, regardless of the goal scored by Ferran Torres in the final stretch of the game. But I don't know. I think it was unlucky, because he was massive against Inter, and obviously he's going to end the season with, I don't know, maybe 25 goals plus. But he had to deliver against Real Madrid, and he couldn't. I believe that's something to add to the pro column for Real Madrid's defense, which were excellent for most of the game. But yeah, I think that Xavi missed Lewandowski being crucial in several spots of the game. Overall, they weren't up to the task. Whereas for Real Madrid, as I said earlier, I think they were even under what they could perform if they actually needed to press a higher gear into the game and to deliver a biggest speed or a biggest intensity. I think that Valverde was massive. I think that once again Toni Kroos made one of the, you know, one of those statement games that he has made Real Madrid fans grown used to. Lunin didn't have quite he didn't have work to do. It was, you know, Courtois' absence, many wouldn't have noticed, because Barca didn't have those many chances to score. And once again, Rodrigo was crucial, Benzema scored. I don't know, overall Real Madrid were, yeah, up to the task, whereas for Barca, weren't.
Yeah, it's really interesting with Real Madrid, because I think, obviously, watching this game from my perspective, yeah, Real Madrid didn't seem to have to get to, you know, third, fourth, fifth gear. They had it under control, and like you say, they really managed the game. Even after Barcelona scored and brought it a bit closer, you know, you felt comfortable that Real Madrid were going to go and see it out. Freddy Valverde, as you mentioned, you know, a massive, massive part of this game. That was his fifth goal of the season. That's actually the same amount of goals he scored in his previous five seasons in La Liga put together. So he's really added this goal-scoring touch. You know, how good is this 24-year-old midfielder? And do you think he holds the key to this kind of post-Casemiro, Modric, Kroos handover?
Obviously, he's very good, and it's not the first time we've seen it. Obviously, Fede Valverde has a great deal of improvement that he can leave in the next few seasons with Real Madrid's shirt. But he's not on his own. You know, I think that the generational relay being handed over to the youngsters has been going on for quite a while, not only for Fede Valverde, who has been more important for his manager this season, but in my view, Tchouameni's performance this season to date. You know, everyone had their fair share of doubts with Casemiro leaving in the final stretch of the market for a big fee, arguably for those 80 million plus for paid by Manchester United. But I think that Tchouameni has stepped up to the plate in a level which even the most optimistic Real Madrid fans couldn't even imagine at the beginning of the season. And once again, he had a huge game against Barca. At the end of the day, you have to deliver whenever the opposition is the strongest. And I think that in these kinds of games, you can really see what Tchouameni can bring to the table in the next few, I would say, 6-7 years, because I think he's going to be Real Madrid's starting midfielder in the defensive position for quite a while. So overall, I think there are many good things to say about Real Madrid in this Clásico, and not the best ones to say about Barca, unfortunately for their fans.
For sure, you know, you've got to think it's advantage Real Madrid, obviously very, very early on in this title race, but the way they're, you know, they're churning out these results, it's going to be very difficult to close those points back. Just quickly on Barcelona once more, before we move on, we're looking at this front three you started today, and Rafinha is a player who divided opinion, I think, on Twitter in the aftermath of this game. He played on the right again today. He made four key passes. He had a shot on target, a few decent runs, but you know, a few people weren't too impressed with his performance. Do you see him as the starting right winger for Barcelona, or do you think this is Ansu Fati's now chance to come in and make a statement?
The main issue, I think, Tom, is that Xavi tried to get Rafinha to team up with Sergio Roberto to try to stop Vinicius. And in that sense, Xavi lost Rafinha as an offensive tool, and he actually wasn't able to 100% stop Vinicius. By the way, Vinicius did an okay game. He wasn't massive in the way he has been in other games, but you know, the rest of his teammates are there to make a statement on his behalf. But yeah, I think that Sergio Roberto was too slow to stop Vinicius on himself, and that's why Xavi opted for, you know, he preferred using Rafinha to try to do that kind of two against one whenever Vinicius got the ball. And you actually could see that when Ansu Fati was in the pitch, when Gavi was in the pitch, when Ferran was in the pitch, Barca were a much more offensive side. And I think that maybe Xavi took a bit too long in order to, you know, switch things around a bit. Possibly those subs had to be done at the halftime and not waiting till the 63rd, 64th minute. So, yeah, Rafinha, he's a great player, obviously, but he had an alternate job to perform in this Clásico, and that's why he couldn't focus himself on trying to be on the offense as much as possible.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. And obviously, like we just said, that's Real Madrid 3 points ahead of Barcelona now. And now only 3 points behind Barcelona are Atletico Madrid. After a very important victory, a Diego Simeone-esque victory, I think you'd have to say, at San Mamés. Yeah. Antoine Griezmann scored the only shot on target for the away side to seal a 1-0 victory. Lots to talk about here, Paco. We saw Atleti in this kind of flat 4-4-2, and we saw some really incredible defensive displays. I thought particularly Reinildo had a fantastic...
Massive. Victory. Yeah.
Absolutely huge. How impressed generally were you with Atletico Madrid?
I would rate them very highly because it's not easy playing against Athletic Club this season with Iñaki Williams, Nico Williams, Berenguer, Sanchez, Muniain. I don't know. I think that Athletic Club were Villalibre in the final stretch of the game. They were very, very, doing what they were supposed to do as the home side. Which, by the way, they were fighting for, squeezing into the top spots of the competition. Remember that they were beginning the weekend in the third spot, I believe, in front of Atletico Madrid. So, I said in the preview a couple of days ago that it was the first time in quite a while where Athletic Club were in front of Atletico Madrid in the standings before their first encounter. But yeah, once again, Atletico Madrid under Simeone got their grit out of the locker room, and they finally were able to perform in a way which everyone, not only Atletico fans, but all of us can recognize as 100% Atleti. Their game against in the Champions League a couple of days ago, I believe they had like 19 shots. Not all of them in target, but they had many, many chances against Bruges. They didn't score, but against Atleti Club, only one was enough. So that's what Simeone's Atleti must do, or it's expected to do. And that's why they were able to win the game. Once again, Griezmann was crucial, not only in the way he scored the goal, but the amount of work and effort and grit and drive that he brings to the offense. He's always pressing. He's always trying to deliver something positive for his squad. I think that nowadays he's one of Simeone's most reliable assets. Not in the way, for example, of other players who suddenly have fallen out with the manager. I think that one of these days we should talk about what is happening with Rodrigo De Paul. But yeah, I think that Griezmann was a great addition for Atletico Madrid. He did great against Athletic Club, and that's why Atletico Madrid are once again in the run for the Champions League spots, because they are three wins in a row already after stumbling 1 month ago, and they are already in the third spot, which is what, as I said earlier quite a few times already, what they are expected to do. Atletico Madrid are expected to be there waiting for one of the top two dogs to stumble, and take advantage of this opportunity. But if they don't do their homework, they won't be able to be there at the spot for any kind of rebound.
Yeah, as crazy as it is, Atletico Madrid's biggest signing does actually seem to be a player that they already had in Antoine Griezmann. Finally being able to play him for the full 90 minutes after this agreement with Barcelona, where he is now their player permanently. And yeah, as you were mentioning with Griezmann, it was 8 shots he took in that game against Club Brugge, 2 on the weekend, and you know, 1 goal in this game on the weekend, and 0 against Club
Brugge. That's enough.
Yep, that's all you need to do. Just talking briefly about Athletic Club, you know, we said that obviously they were doing incredibly well, and we said that we'd be intrigued to see this very attacking system from Ernesto Valverde against some of the stronger clubs in La Liga. They drew to Sevilla last weekend, and they've lost here today. Is it something to be concerned about, or do you think they were just unlucky here against a very good defensive side?
I wouldn't say so, especially if you check out the schedule ahead of them. Next week they are facing Barca, obviously away from home. Midweek they are going to play against Getafe, away from home once again. So two home games in a consecutive manner. So I think they should pick up something in the road against Getafe. Barca is going to be another kind of story, and then they close this opening stretch of games at home against Villarreal, and their last game is just before the break, away from home in Montilivi against Girona. So overall, I think they should pick up quite a few points along the road, because this season they have been able to, you know, become as invested in home games as in games being played away from home. That's the main difference this season between Valverde's Athletic Club and what they did last season under Marcelino. I think that the mythical quality of La Catedral of San Mamés is like playing with an extra player on top of the pitch for Athletic Club, but they have been very, very solid, very consistent, both away and at home. You can check out the stats for them. You know, they have only 6 goals conceded in 9 games, which is crazy at this point. They are the second best squad of the competition, just behind Barca and behind Betis, who have only allowed 6 goals too. So, and Villarreal, obviously. So overall, I think that they shouldn't be concerned about the defeat against Atletico de Madrid, because they are going to do well in the following games.
Fingers crossed that they stay in touch, really, because we want another team in this exciting race of European places. And we're going to talk about that in part 2, so make sure to stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute after the adverts to talk about the likes of Real Sociedad, Sevilla and Real Betis.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of this La Liga Lowdown recap pod. My name's Tom Harris, and I'm here again with Paco Pollet. We're going to move on to talk about the European race now, and we're going to start with a team who were in the European race last season, not so much this time around with Sevilla, but they managed to get just their second win of the season under Jorge Sampaoli this weekend with a 1-0 win away at Mallorca. And it was a screamer as well from Gudel from 5 yards out.
Right. Massive.
Corner, absolutely huge. And we were talking about Atletico Madrid before, scoring with their only shot on target. This was Sevilla's only shot on target as well. So it wasn't a vintage performance from Jorge Sampaoli's men, but he's ground out another result since he's been in charge. Obviously, that draw with Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League was huge. A good draw against Athletic Club last time out in La Liga, and here with a victory. So, Paco, just wanted to ask you a bit about Jorge Sampaoli, and is there, you know, what difference do you see in his side in comparison to the Julian Lopetegui's side?
Well, he remains unbeaten, by the way, in the first three games under his tenure on the bench. I think that Sevilla are slowly starting to believe once again in themselves. And that's the main difference between Sampaoli and what was happening under Lopetegui. I think that Lopetegui's run spearheading Sevilla was over. Possibly it was over last summer, but... selling their two starting center backs didn't make matters easier for the squad. The signings weren't, you know, at the same tier or at the same level as the ones being sold, Diego Carlos and Koundé. And overall, things didn't begin on the right foot when the season began for Sevilla, and that's why they were just unable to get out of the pit in the first couple of games. Many weird stuff happening, both in front and behind the curtains. You might remember those scenes with Monchi asking for forgiveness by the fans away from home because of a defeat on the road. Overall, things didn't look good, and that's why at the end of the day, you know, Lopetegui was sacked. Whereas for Sampaoli, he has arrived again with a clean slate. Enough time has gone by between his last run as Sevilla's manager and this one. For example, that's not the case with Jorge Almirón in Elche, you know, because 1 year is not enough. But for Sampaoli, it's been quite a while. That they are trying to get back to the basics, you know, defending, being consistent at the back, having or chaining, linking and quite a few clean sheets as one of the ways in order to turn things around. And if you have a player like Gudeli who is able to score a screamer as the one he had this weekend, that's the way to go. I think that Sevilla need to go back to the roots in that sense, and you should expect quite a few short score lines in the next following games, because I think that before the break, Sampaoli is going to try to go straight for the results. Not flair, not style, not football, champagne football, as I like to say. But getting the job done and 1-0 scores, 0-1 away from home. That's what I think that we can expect from Sampaoli Sevilla from now on, at least till mid-November.
Yeah, I think Julian Lopetegui will be feeling quite unfortunate in that Marcao, the summer signing from Galatasaray, didn't play under him, and now he's back with finally starting for the Sevilla side under Jorge Sampaoli and actually looking quite good alongside Tanguy Nianzou. So it remains to be seen whether these two can replace that Diego Carlos and Jules Koundé partnership, but certainly a narrow result, as you said, ground out, and maybe that is the start of something for Sevilla. A side who don't need a restart, and you know, one of Sevilla's main rivals are Real Betis, because they are going along absolutely fantastically at the moment. Already qualified from their group in the Europa League, having beaten Roma in Rome last week and top of their group, and now in fourth place alongside Atletico Madrid and Real Sociedad with 19 points. a 3-1 victory tonight against Almeria, and really went as we expected, didn't it, Paco?
Yeah, I think it was, the expected outcome from this game. I didn't expect William Carvalho, who isn't exactly the most pinpoint scorer in the world, to have a brace at the end of the night. But, I believe it was the first one for Real Betis in William Carvalho's career. And they got the job done. Obviously, Almeria are always a rowdy side. They always try to, make things difficult for the opposition. But Betis, at this point, they are flying. If you see their games, both in La Liga and in European competitions, they are with a level of flair, of confidence. They really believe in what they are doing. And even though they stumbled a few weeks ago in that game against Celta, which was very, very unexpected for me. Once again, they have, gotten their groove back. They beat Almeria. They got 1 point against Valladolid, but they deserved the win. Drew against Roma. They got a massive win away from home in the group stage in the Europa League against Roma 2 weeks ago. They beat Girona. I don't know. They beat Villarreal. Overall, they are in a very, very, very interesting run in the last month. And that's why I think that they could perfectly be contenders this season for the fourth place. And that is going to be very interesting, because at this point we can see already three sides, which are, we have talked about two of them already, Athletic Club and Betis, fighting for that fourth place. You have also upcoming, we're going to talk about them, Real Sociedad. You also have possibly outsiders, maybe Valencia, I don't know. And you have to count in Villarreal and Sevilla, because eventually they will recover and they will win games. So it's like a 5-6 team race for only one single spot. And that's why this season, even though things might change in January when the break is over and the World Cup is over, I think it might be the most interesting race in the last few seasons, in order to see who is able to squeeze into that last final Champions League spot.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. And I think for me, watching Real Betis tonight, in a game against Almeria, no disrespect to Almeria, but struggling, not doing very well. And the atmosphere before, during and after the game, every win seems to mean so much to these Real Betis fans. And I'm sure that they will be cheering their side over the line. And, that could maybe play a difference in this race. Another side with, very good home support, but they were playing away this weekend, were Real Sociedad. And they recorded their seventh win in a row. The first time they've done that in 55 years. They're one away from their all-time club record. They've never won 8 games in a row, so an opportunity to break a record on Wednesday. And yeah, another win for them, 2-1 away at Celta Vigo. And the main headline here, I think, is Bryce Mendes returning to Celta Vigo, providing an assist, as he seems to do more or less every game now for Real Sociedad. Again, how impressed were you with Real Sociedad? And you look at the goal scorers here, Iaramendi, Zubeldia, it feels like people are stepping up to the plate, even outside Bryce Mendes, Taki Kubo, Alexander Sorloth.
Yes, I have to apologize to Real Sociedad fans, because I doubted them at the beginning of the season, even though they got a few positive results at the beginning. They seemed to stumble at the beginning of September, I recall. And, a couple of negative score lines after obviously losing Umar Sadiq, which was their biggest bet this season to become a powerhouse also offensively. But they have recovered from that and bounced back in a way that, as you said, Tom, we haven't seen in over half a century. And you have many people to thank for that. I think that not only the goal scorers, obviously, Iaramendi, Zubeldia with that header to give them the win over Celta, but if you see the way David Silva played, if you see the way Take Kubo has been growing, or the goal scored by Sorloth, or, as you said, Bryce Mendes playing once again against Celta, which was the team where he became an interesting player in the league. You said that we've been grown and used to watching him assisting and scoring. He has been doing everything this season so far. So overall, they are a very, very confident side. They 100% believe in the plan that Imanol Alguacil has for them since I believe he's been like 4 or 5 seasons already in charge, and that is that kind of confidence is something that you can really buy bringing in someone from outside. You need to have someone homegrown, as Alguacil's case, coming in, moving up the ranks, coming in from the youth team, from the academy, knowing, top to bottom, most of the interesting players who can be promoted, and also being very smart and trying to play to the team's strengths. And that's why Real Sociedad are in a riot at this point, and they are winning left and right every single game. And I don't know, I would like to check out, if I have 1 second, their following games. They play against Mallorca in a couple of days. They play away from home in Zorrilla against Valladolid next weekend. And their last two games before the break are against Betis. That one is going to be absolutely amazing. By the way, at home in Anoeta. And they are also playing at home against Valencia. So Betis, Valencia are going to be the challenging ones. Valladolid, they should pick up the 3 points. And also an interesting one against Mallorca. Overall, possibly the most informed squad in the competition, if you leave aside, obviously, Real Betis, and if you leave aside, Real Madrid.
Very tasty indeed. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Paco, and ask you an impossible question. If you had to say, out of those three, who is going to finish fourth, who would be your pick?
Right now, I believe Betis, right now, at this point. At the end of the season, I believe it's impossible to predict, because I'm 100% sure that Villarreal and Sevilla are going to fight for it. They are going to somehow turn things around, start winning games. They will string quite a few positive results on their behalf, and they will be there. They will be there waiting for the rest to have a bad streak of games, to have a stumble, and I don't know if they will be able to take advantage. But at this point, I see Betis very in form. In the long run, because remember that these two sides, both Betis and Real Sociedad, are the ones who are playing Europa League, and their level of demand, both physically and football wise, for the squad are not going to be the same, for example, as for Athletic Club, who might be, you know, that kind of dark horse in the race, because they only have to focus in one game every single week. So Betis are my favorites at this point. But at the end of the season, I think that the rest of the usual suspects, you know, Villarreal, Sevilla, Betis, Real Sociedad, all of them are going to fight for the spoils of war, for that fourth place.
Fantastic. So let's quickly move on to some of the other teams in action this weekend. And one of your outside picks were Valencia. Very entertaining game here at Mestalla. And as you said before, a bit disappointing from a Valencia persuasion, I imagine. How did you think this game went? And, are you still very happy with the way things are going under Gennaro Gattuso at the moment?
Yeah, Valencia are a bit frustrating, because they are, if you start chopping the games in two halves and you blend them once again, only picking half, 100%, 50% of each game, you could find yourself with not only a Europa League contender or Champions League contender, a season championship contender, because they are able to play very nice football, as we could see against Elche in the first half. But again, if you chop the games in two halves and you get the worst part of it, Valencia would be a serious contender for the drop, because that's the reason for Valencia not being able to get closer to the top spots, is that they are very inconsistent. They are unable to keep that level of drive, of pace, of intensity for 90 minutes. Cavani scored a brace, very important for Valencia, because they need their top striker, even though he's 35 already, to start scoring. He has waited till match day number 9, but he finally got his first 2 goals. Overall, I think that Elche are right to feel very angry at the referee, because there was a very controversial play in the second half where there was a foul over an Elche player, and just like 2 seconds later Elche scored, and the referee had called a foul instead of leaving the play to finish and Elche to score, and that would have been their third goal, and being able to complete their turnaround of the score. But, they didn't actually complain that much after the game, which was, in my view, admirable. But I expect them to not really miss those 2 points at the end of the season, because it would be a real pity for them if they fall to second division, if they get demoted for not winning this game. So overall, Valencia need to bring up their consistency to a proper level. And to this point, that's the main reason for Gattuso's men not being able to fight for European spots. Because if they were able to finally get that, I think they are going to be a team to watch this year.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. Just to round up some of the other results before we go, we had a Madrid derby on Friday night between Rayo Vallecano and Getafe, which finished 0-0. We also had Cadiz against Girona, and you know, personally, I was expecting Girona to finally win a game after three really good performances against higher level opposition, but Cadiz actually pinned them back. They went ahead through Alex Fernandez, and it was only a 100 second minute penalty from Cristian Suárez to rescue a point for Girona. And finally today, Espanyol 1, Real Valladolid 0, a massive win for Diego Martinez's men. And it was Josulu again with his 7th goal of the season already in the first 9 games. And we do actually have an article on our Substack about Josulu's start to the season, so make sure to check that out at laligalowdown.substack.com. Thank you very much, Paco. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. We will see you again on Wednesday. I think me and you are back again for a preview podcast. So not wait until we are working together again.
Obviously, it's been a pleasure, Tom. And thanks, guys, for everything.
Fantastic. So make sure to follow our Twitter. We'll have a fresh newsletter out in the morning, and we will speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.